The day's work is getting started while the sidewalks are still dark. And young Americans will soon begin their day with long division and irregular verbs, with the laws of motion and chemical combination, with music and history. In the biggest cities and the smallest towns, in skyscrapers and on backcountry roads, 30 million children in 200,000 schools will be getting an education. Schools mean teachers as well as students. These young men and women are studying to be school teachers at one of our many special teacher training colleges. Like students in any college, they study a variety of subjects. But their work is approached with special reference to methods of teaching children. They become acquainted with different kinds of texts and teaching aids, like these play materials for use with little children, which the college sends to schools throughout the region. And they study the more general problems of education and growth, not only intellectual growth, but the development of personality as a whole, clarifying their own ideas and learning from the experience of older teachers by discussion, both in the classroom and at odd moments like this one, during a work period. But teaching is an art, the art of translating all this information and theory into 1,000 various applications, which are the individual children in the classroom. And so perhaps the most important part of this college is its laboratory school, where future teachers can study children in all aspects of their school lives. First of all, by observing experienced teachers at work. And then by beginning to supervise children in simple tasks. By helping with jobs like testing a child's abilities. By exploring with children some of the modern visual aids to education. By observing children during periods of free or creative activity. And most important, learning to think of children as people whom they must get to know before they can know how best to teach them. Let's look at a couple of examples. This is Jack. He wants to coach high school athletics and to teach biology. He's a good student and an excellent athlete. But he makes a common mistake as soon as he begins to practice coaching. Take, for instance, this boxing match. See how enthusiastic he is about the winner. Much patting on the back, much praise. But he ignores the boy who has lost, who needs encouragement much more than the winner. Take this 50-yard dash. When Johnny, the fat boy, waddles in last, Jack thoughtlessly but crudely makes fun of him. Most of the boys laugh, but there is one who doesn't. Henry King is trying to look as though he didn't care much about the whole business. Henry it's clear that something is bothering him. Henry seems to have had enough of Jack. Coach Fuller notices Henry's behavior. He also notices that its significance is lost on Jack, who is fully occupied. But Coach Fuller and Jack's faculty advisor work out a little plan that may help Jack. In one of the required courses, each student makes a detailed study of some particular child. Jack is given a card with the name and grade of a boy on it. On Monday morning, he comes to the fourth grade room in the laboratory school to get acquainted with the pupil assigned to him. He talks with the boy's teacher, who shows him where the boy will sit. And then he goes to the rear of the room, the usual place for class observation. The pupils at the laboratory school are so used to visitors that they pay little attention to them. Jack wonders which boy has been assigned to him and is disappointed to find that it's the same boy who had puzzled him on the field. Here Henry is in his element. His behavior in the classroom is quite different from his behavior on the playground. Here Henry seems sure of himself. Almost too eager to show what he knows, Jack begins to wonder how these two Henrys are connected. After class, the teacher shows Jack some of Henry's work. It's clear that she sees a different side of Henry than he does. In the following weeks, Jack visits more of Henry's classes and talks to all of Henry's teachers. And there are other sources where Jack can find clues to the puzzle of Henry. As soon as possible, he makes appointments to talk with Henry's parents. Mrs. King is friendly and cooperative when Jack explains what he's doing. He mentions how different the boy seems in the schoolroom and out on the playing field. He learns that the family moved to town a few months ago, that Henry is an only child, that he is very high strung, proud of what he can do well, ashamed of whatever he does poorly. Henry's father confirms this account and admits that he has never quite understood the boy's shyness and welcomes Jack's interest. Jack continues his study by looking up Henry's records and reports, trying to analyze what he has learned. By the time he gets to his written report, he thinks he understands what some of Henry's difficulty is and is anxious to help him. A few days later, The boys in Henry's class are out on the field for high jumping. As usual, Henry seems afraid to try. With the coach's permission, Jack takes a surprised Henry across the field to a place where he can practice jumping unobserved by the other boys. Jack has figured out that what Henry needs is a little success in just such a competitive sport as jumping, and that this can give him the kind of assurance which the two easy successes of the classroom can never give him. Also, he has finally realized that above all, he mustn't laugh at Henry. Henry isn't breaking any records this first day, but he has started to gain the self-confidence which will help him overcome his shyness. And Jack is beginning to acquire that understanding of the individual child essential for becoming a successful teacher. And there are other kinds of understanding. This is Elaine, an excellent student, proud of her high marks. But she doesn't have many close friends and spends most of her time in the library or in her room with her books. Elaine's chief concern is to please her teachers. Now, all of this study is good and necessary preparation for teaching, but she still has a lot to learn. Ms. Schaefer's third grade has been learning about the children of other lands, and Elaine has been observing them for several weeks. She has been impressed by the facts they were getting, but she is not fully aware of the relationship between the teacher and the class, and how Ms. Schaefer uses their own questions and interests and encourages them to take part in the class so that it becomes an opportunity for each individual to contribute something and to learn from the others. So when the moment comes for which she has been waiting so long, when Ms. Schaefer asks her to take the class for a while, Elaine uses it as a chance to display her own learning and starts off with a lecture. These children are used to taking an active part in the class, but they can't take part in a lecture, and they soon become restless. This is a situation that Elaine has not even allowed herself to imagine before. And face to face with it, she becomes desperate. Half an hour later, she is in the office of the Dean of Women. Her pride is hurt, and she is discouraged. What had she done wrong? The Dean knows that the answer to this question is not one of classroom procedure, but one of Elaine's own development and understanding of personal relationships. Knowing that she has an excellent scholastic record, The dean advises her to spend more time with people and less with books. Elaine decided, first of all, to try getting into some sport. She had never felt that she had time for sports. Now she is finding out that she not only enjoys learning a game, but that she soon begins to know and enjoy the other girls much better than she ever has before. She becomes more at ease, more self-assured, and begins to make a place for herself in the life of the campus. Dean had also advised her to get all the experience she could with small children and arranged for her to work with Mrs. Roberts, head of the local day nursery, which cares for children of mothers who work. Here she started learning things about children almost as soon as she arrived. Went on learning in many different ways. But the discovery that gave her the most satisfaction was that she could enjoy children and that they could enjoy her. She is beginning to see that teaching is not just a business of getting across information to a class, but first of all, one of living with individual children and sharing the excitement and difficulties of their growing up. There is more to the art of teaching than everything Jack and Elaine have learned here. Even the 4 long years of Teachers College are too short. These young men and women have made a start toward acquiring the understanding and skills for becoming good teachers. But commencement is only the beginning. In a few months, this boy and thousands of boys and girls all over the United States will be facing their first classes on their own responsibility, learning as much from the class as the pupils from them. Learning patience in the face of the slow day-to-day progress. Learning how to make whatever they are teaching both clear and interesting. Learning how to help their pupils to see their work as their own education and opportunity. To develop the art of teaching takes years of practice and hard work, many mistakes, and many disappointments. Above all, it demands that a teacher care that the boys and girls who are our future shall develop their potentialities and acquire the knowledge to fit them to make satisfactory lives for themselves and to become useful and responsible citizens.